We live under an open heaven. And more as we walk with the Lord in these days, we're going to be more and more aware of his realm and influence in our lives. Jesus lived under an open heaven, and you know, when the Spirit came upon him, the heavens were opened. That's why he could see what the Father was doing. He could hear what the Father was speaking. He could access the supernatural because heaven was open to him and whatever needed to take place. Now, somewhere on your journey, when you realized that the Word of God was not just scriptures you read that dealt with the past and what God had said, but you began to hear from his voice a fresh, living word, that was the open heaven you were experiencing. That God not only spoke yesterday, he'll speak tomorrow, but he's speaking today. And so as we've been living and hearing from the voice of the Lord, that's one of the signs and fruit of an open heaven. Another sign is signs and wonders, when miracles happen, healings, deliverances. What's taking place? Well, on this physical plane, we have all kinds of problems that don't exist in heaven. So when the heavens are open, miracles happen in this realm. But there's something else that I want to talk about this morning. When the heaven is open, we can experience the ways of our Heavenly Father. His ways, his heart, his mind can actually be a part of our life and transform us. This has not necessarily been the case in the past. And you know, people can see the miracles of God and the signs and wonders and still not change. The Israelites in the wilderness saw the power of God displayed on a daily basis. Yet their minds were made up. They left Egypt with one mindset and they continued on until that whole generation died out. They didn't grow at all, that older generation. Jesus had his disciples walking with him. And they experienced and saw the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And of course, that always strengthens your faith. But it doesn't necessarily change your thinking. All that time, 3.5 years with Jesus, and that whole time they fought the destiny of God, that he was to go to the cross. Their thinking didn't change, did it? It's when the ways of our Father, his ways, find a place to land in our heart, in our mind, when we can embrace that, that's when transformation takes place. Psalm 103, verse 7 says, the children of Israel saw the acts of God. Moses knew his ways. It's our destiny to know the ways of God. In Deuteronomy 8:6, and you don't have to turn there. I can just read it. You can read it later if I can find it. It talked about in verse 5 about the Lord your God was disciplining you as a man disciplines his son, talking about their time in the wilderness. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him, or it means to reverence him. All the discipline we talk about and things going on in our life that we know it's God shaking things up. And what's he doing? Bringing us up to a place where his ways can be a part of our inner being, where we can walk, experience his ways. We can live our life through his ways. Again, transformation. In Exodus 33:13. Moses said, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me know thy ways, that I may know thee. What does it mean to know the Heavenly Father? It means that his ways become a part of our being. Now, what happens if this doesn't take place? Does it mean that God doesn't live in you? No, not at all. God loves you. You accept Jesus Christ into your life. Light goes on inside. Where the Son abides, the Father abides. Amen. Right? So people can have God living in them and still not be transformed or changed by the Father living in them. Knowing the ways of the Lord means that his presence in our life changes our life. We get a new life and we can live from a new perspective and a new mind. That's what we hunger for. Our natural mind, of course, resists this. Romans 8, the natural, the carnal mind resists the ways of God. This is why it's not so easy. Who wouldn't want to be transformed? Well, read Matthew 20. You know the parable of the workers? And, you know, the owner promised them a certain wage. And some worked all day. And some came in the last hour and worked just 1 hour. And they all got the same pay. And the ones that had worked longer grumbled at them, saying, what do you mean? We worked 11 hours. This guy worked one. You're giving us the same pay? Well, it's an example of how God's ways are not our ways. So our natural mind has a sense of justice that doesn't match what the true justice of the kingdom of God is. God is too loving and too generous. We can't comprehend that with the natural mind. So when we talk about the ways of the Lord, oh yeah, I want his ways until they conflict with my ways. So that's the problem we run into. But we've got to come to a point where we realize that there's no transformation without his ways abiding within us. So we embrace his ways, not because it's comfortable for us, pleasant for us, but because that's how we change into his image. And if we don't do that, we have a living God in us, but we're forever with this old mind trying to create him in our own image. We're superimposing our thoughts, our religion on God, and we're looking at an image that doesn't even represent him. But when we can experience his ways, we recognize that we are truly created in his image. His thoughts become our thoughts. That's what we're looking for. There are four words I want us to look at this morning. And, you know, we know these words. We know what they mean. But the experience of these words is just the unfolding of God's ways within us. Before we do that, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Familiar verse. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's talking about spiritual growth. And these are a couple of the words we're going to talk about this morning. Grow in grace and knowledge, or the truth, the revelation of Jesus Christ. If we're not experiencing God's grace, if we're not experiencing revelation, we're not growing. So it's going back to, we're going to look at these words that really express the ways of God. If we're under the law, if we're under bondage to legalism, we can be very busy doing a lot of things, but one thing that's not happening in our life is spiritual growth. We don't grow because we get real religious and try real hard. Amen. We grow because great God's grace is becoming a greater reality in our life, and that knowledge, that revelation, the truth is growing within us. Ways of God, think of these words: truth, grace, faith, love. This verse expresses how grace and truth work together for growth. Faith working by love. What does that cause? Spiritual growth. Those words we're familiar with. We have definitions of them. You probably have tons of words that have been brought about those four words, and you know all about them. But it's the experience of those words that cause his ways to be an integral part of our being. Let's look at truth. We'll start with that. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Now, when you find the Lord in your life, when Christ is in you, you've bought the truth. The truth is not a set of principles. It's not a set of doctrine. It's not just certain patterns of thought. The truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the truth. So it's a relationship with a living person. That's truth within us. How do we sell it? What happens on this journey when we buy the truth and we're in a relationship with Christ and there's passion and we're devoted? What's happening? That's the way of the Father. That's what he wants for his children on planet Earth, to experience and grow in the truth of who his son is. Clear and simple. But there's going to be pressures to sell that and to back away from it. One pressure is from the world, right? Distractions, anxiety, the age we live in, trying to grab your attention. But I think a bigger problem can happen to us right in the church. We get pulled away because we think we belong to some institution, and we forget that the only thing that matters is walking with Him. You look at a group that has a strong program going, and any time you get into a group of people, there's pressure to conform to certain ways of thinking. I have sadly watched people abandon their own conscience and the revelation truth that God gave them because there was pressure from others to do so. The fear of man, the opinions of others, can cause us to sell out the truth. Now, what are we selling out? Just certain ideas? No. When you're selling out the truth, you're abandoning your relationship to Christ. You're pushing Him away and saying, I've got more important things to tend to. I've watched groups that have strong leaders, and people get under that. And we need to really be aware of this, because where leadership becomes too prominent in a wrong way, people will abandon what the Lord speaks to their heart because they're afraid it doesn't fit in to what they're being told. Don't ever do that. We need to understand leadership from God's perspective. Never in the scriptures are people encouraged to abandon their walk with the Lord or allow any person or thing to come between them and Jesus. We're warned not to do that, aren't we? Very clearly, leadership is to be there to serve the people, to help people love the truth, not take people away from it. But you look at groups that are controlling, or where leadership becomes too big or becomes an idol, and we'll talk about that in a second. People let go of what the Lord's made real to their heart because they want to fit in. That's selling the truth. Jesus didn't leave us with a system, religious system, did He? He left us with the Holy Spirit. He didn't leave us with a map, but gave us a guide. What's religion about? It's an institution that has this map. Everybody's got to follow this map that we have. No, you need to follow the Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord left for you. Don't abandon the truth. Love the truth. Buy it and do not sell it. Certain things can become idols to us. And that takes us away from our love for the truth. And when that happens, we're being pulled away from God's way. You know, so I was thinking about this, and I hope you understand this or you hear what I'm saying, because it could be taken wrong. The Bible can be an idol, the scriptures. Jesus told the Pharisees, you search the scriptures because you're looking for life, but these scriptures are talking about me and you don't want me. That's right. Jesus also said the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. You know, you get every once in a while I've heard about these kind of intellectual Christians that go back and they're studying about how the Bible was put together. And you know, when the books were put in the Bible, certain things were left out, and there's a lot of politics and wars about all that. And I look at that and I say, I could care less. You know, if certain books were left out, that wouldn't be great to have them, or certain books are in that shouldn't be in. I don't think that's the case. But this book is not life. The Holy Spirit is what makes this book life. It's when Christ is revealed through these scriptures, then that word is sacred and holy. But without the Spirit and without the Lord, it's just another book. And people that make an idol out of the Bible and say, I memorize the scriptures, I live by the scriptures, can actually be pulled away from the truth because they're not experiencing revelation. They become dogmatic, stubborn, rigid, and they resist the very Lord that they're preaching about and studying about. We make an idol out of church. Now, you know, again, how does God define church? It's the fellowship of believers in His Spirit. We get to a point where we say, well, this is a church, here's four walls, and we do things a certain way. And down the street, there's another church that have another four walls, and they do things a little differently. That isn't church. Those are institutions. And when institutions become too big, they become an idol, people get pulled away from following the Lord, their devotion to the Lord, the truth, and pulled into programs. Church thrives where people are focused on Jesus and not on building church. You want to thrive? Focus on the Lord at the head, and then we will fellowship in the light as we're meant to. Focus on building the church. We're going to get caught up in programs. We're going to get caught up in, we got to do this, we got to do that. Isn't this important? We're doing something more special than the guys down the street. And the church world today, I think in the Christian realm, is a lot of people are caught up serving an idol, and they don't recognize it. All right. Let's look at grace. It's another word. Grace is the end of our ego controlling our lives. Grace, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Grace replaces our self-sufficiency, our independent efforts to please God. When we experience grace, we are no longer free agents doing things our way and wanting God to bless our efforts. Grace is divine energy that flows through in us and through us, performing what God wants performed. Grace is the way that God lives and moves through us, and it's how we grow in Him. Now, a problem we have, and I was examining my own heart on this, is everybody loves grace. We could stay here for the next hour and read scriptures about the grace of God. It's not by works. It's wonderful. We buy most of it, but I think most of us have that little section or little part of us where grace does not apply. Are there certain buttons that the enemy can push where all of a sudden you go back under the law and think, oh, I got to do this right. God's going to punish me. And we go back to our old prayers, and we call it repentance, but all it is we feel guilty, we feel condemned, and we feel if we don't do this thing, God's not going to reward us. You know, it's like having a diet where 99% of your diet is great food and 1% is rat poison. What's going to happen? Die, you're certainly not going to be well. You're going to be sick. And that's how the church has tried to do it. We love the message of grace, but we can't let totally go our hold on the law. Got to have a little bit of law. Well, you read Galatians about a little bit of law. Paul says you got a little bit of law. You're severed from Christ. You've fallen from grace. That's Galatians 5. Grace is an all or nothing proposition. And I think there's a step we need to take, because the church has tried to create a hybrid. We'll have grace, new covenant here, but we want some old covenant too. We've got to balance it out. There's no balance to that. You're just saying, okay, we want good food. We want to feed on the Lord. We want some poison too. We want to make sure that the devil has access to us. He can lie to us and keep us in prison. We grow by grace, and when we can abandon ourselves to God's grace and realize that grace covers 100% of everything, amen, then that grace can be the power and force in us that God wants. It causes us to grow. How about faith? That's a way of the Lord. That's a way of the Father's heart. Now, faith, and Jesus said it, let's see, Luke 18:8, he said, when he returns, will he find faith? So to me, that tells me there's different types of faith. And I think all of us in the religious realm have experienced a faith that's at best a mixture. Part God, and part of it is we in our own strength are trying to impress God. Look, God, look how disciplined I can be. Look how dedicated I can be. Watch me. I'm going to believe you. Oh, the world is doing this and that, but I'm just going to be strong. There's a higher level of faith that doesn't revolve around you, but it brings the awareness to Him. One verse, can you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13? If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Okay. Nobody wants to see themselves being faithless. Yet if you are a human being, you will experience that. You will fail. You will not always be faithful. Only God can be faithful 100% of the time. It says here, when we are faithless, What does he do? Does he say, okay, promise is no good. Your faith is not there. I don't have to do my word. No, he remains faithful. The faith that really expresses the way of our Father is a faith that's anchored in his faithfulness. It's not a faith that makes us aware of how hard we're trying, how we're failing. Oh, I had a bad day. I had doubts. It's a faith that makes you aware of how he will always be faithful to you. Amen. Even when you fail, he does not. Abraham, it says, when he looked at himself, remember the promise of having the son? Abraham and Sarah, when they had the promise for Isaac, Abraham looked in the mirror and he saw how old he was. Now, we read that and think, well, yeah, he saw it, but every day he just bounded with faith. Listen, do you think in all those years from the time he got the promise till it was fulfilled, that he didn't wake up some mornings and have some doubts? I mean, come on, he was human. It says all these people in the Bible, we tend to make them heroes. Like they don't have the problems we have. They're human. They're of like passions. Abraham saw in his flesh it could never happen. His faith was not anchored in what he could do. His faith was anchored in God being faithful to his word. That's all God wants us to have. And God honored that. It became righteousness to Abraham. You're going to have doubts. We all have doubts. We all have bad days. Everyone in this room, you have times where it's kind of dark in your head, right? Yep. You don't want anybody here knowing about those times and the things you think and the things you may voice. God is faithful to you. Those times do not negate the promise of God. Your faith is not an absence of doubt. Faith is something that's anchored in God's faithfulness, even when there's a sea of doubts, fears, unbelief, whatever's battling and coming against you. Your faith is anchored in that promise because God is faithful. That's what he wants in our life. That's his way. The last is love. And I think this, we know God is love. His way is so simple. I think we make it so complicated with religion. Programs, trying to figure out what's the will of God. How do we do this? How do we do that? Jesus made it very simple. I'm going to just read a few verses in John 15, 12. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Commandments of God, those are heavy things, aren't they? Jesus left some things out, didn't he? I certainly have more commandments in my head and life that I need to do for God. Love one another the same way I loved you. John 13, 34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another." So simple. That is the way of our Heavenly Father. If we truly love with his love, our identity as disciples is clearly made known to the world. What does that mean? It means they look at us and they see our Heavenly Father. They see who we belong to. Isn't that what the will of God is all about? Jesus came and said, "I'm showing you who the Father is. We've been reconciled to the Father in Christ." Why? So that we can show the world who the Father is. Amen. How do we do that? When you love one another with my love, I'm seen through you. That's simple. We look at the book of Acts and look at the early church, what they did. Oh, they sold all their goods. They moved in together. They gave to one another. And we read that and we try to come up with a manual. How to be good Christians. Look, we just got to copy their pattern. What manual were they reading from? Did Jesus leave them a secret book saying, "Here's how it's supposed to work, gang"? They received the Holy Spirit. And because of that, the Spirit in them and the love for God and one another that came out of that encounter, they did all the things they did. You can't copy the pattern to get to the presence. You've got to discover the presence, and then out of presence comes either that or new patterns. What does it matter? What did they do? What's the book of Acts all about? They loved one another the same way that Jesus loved them, the way the Father loved them. And when that is flowing, it's dynamic. It's dynamic. It changes life. It changes the world. Why? Because God is most clearly seen where his love is present.
Amen.
Why is that? I don't know. Maybe because God is love. That's what 1 John says. Our fellowship is so important. Fellowship together. This is what we're talking about, experiencing love, flowing in love. It's not an obligation. I got to go to church today. Well, that means you're going to an institution. And I don't know that, no, you don't, really don't have to do that. You know, you may feel guilty. I don't find anywhere in the scriptures where God says you've got to go to a building. Jesus forgot to tell us about all that stuff. But we've made up for it, haven't we? We've created volumes and volumes of books about how church needs to be done. And by making it an institution, we miss what it really is. The love of God flowing through one another. And where that love is flowing, God is present. And that is fellowship. Fellowship is not an obligation. It's a gift from the Father. Do you have to go to church? You can't go to church. You are the church. Either you're in fellowship, we're not in fellowship. We're not aware of our fellowship, I should say. But church isn't a place you go to. But this is the way of the Father. The way of the Father is, how can I be like God? How can I move in his ways? We make loving one another and him the priority instead of all the things we get busy with. It's like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. A lot of things needed to be done. Only one thing was necessary, what she was doing. That was the way of the Father, sitting at his feet, listening to him. This is what's going to change and revolutionize us. His ways becoming a part of our heart, our mind. And once that's his ways begin to abide in us in that way, what's another word for that? Transformation. There's no way we can think the same way or be the same way. Amen. Father, bless your word to our hearts today. Cause the reality of these words to grow within us. In Jesus' name, amen.